here with us today visiting and also those that are online. We certainly praise God for you and thank the Lord for blessing all of us to gather in His name. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's been remarkable. I'm also grateful as my wife and I celebrate 50 years. God has blessed us. And actually, this weekend is the anniversary, so we're excited about that. And Pastor Ed Pope is with us today in worship, so we're grateful for him and his family being with us today. Amen. I want to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 5. We've been celebrating Advent and its meaning, and we've been sharing not in a ceremonial way, but in a way of saying we recognize, not just on Christmas Day, but we recognize God sending His Son into the world. Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this hope, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Thank God for the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I want to share just a thought today as we celebrate our second recognition of Advent. We talked about the hope that we have, but now we're talking about the peace of God. What does that mean to us? And I want to share the topic, peace came at a cost. Your peace, my peace, came at a cost. And as we know, Jesus paid that cost. But there are certain things that you and I must do if we're to recognize the power of God in our lives. Now, I want to just reemphasize why we are celebrating Advent. As you know, this holiday season is about Christ. But everything that people do is not necessarily about Christ. There are people that will go through this holiday, and because they are not aware of why Christ came into this world, some will celebrate it with drunkenness. Some will celebrate it with gluttony. Some will celebrate the holiday in ways that really don't reflect what it stands for. It's all about Jesus, not about us. It's all about the Savior, not about what we've done. And in order for us to really emphasize this, we've got to understand that peace did not just come as some calmness that settled over the earth. Somebody had to bring peace. Somebody had to usher it into the world, because the world did not and could not generate peace on its own. It had to come through a Savior. I'll be sharing more about that in just a minute. And so today we are lighting that candle of peace. I actually have the graphic today. Yes, last Sunday I forgot all about it. And we are lighting the candle of peace. You can move it forward. As we talk about God's peace, and so we are justified. That verse says we are justified how? By faith. Justified by faith, and through that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I'm saying. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is the calmness that comes through a shalom experience with God. Only God can give you peace. A lot of people are looking for peace. They're searching for it. They're trying to sign peace agreements. And yet, we have no peace. The armistice agreement that was signed after World War I was supposed to end all wars. Well, guess what? Folks are still fighting. People still in conflict. So even though the absence of war is not the definition of peace, there is in that word that we are at war. People are in conflict. And one of those conflicts is against God. Let me share the war on two fronts. On one front, you have the war within. You have the war on the inside. Paul describes this as the wretched man. That's somebody who's in turmoil. And I can tell you, anybody who is in turmoil with themselves will always be in turmoil with everyone else. There's the battle that's going on. Matter of fact, James asked the question, he said, now where do wars come from? Where do they originate? Down in the heart of people. You got a war going on inside. You may not want to admit it. You might say, well, I'm a nice person. You have a conflict going on the inside of you because embedded in your nature is sin. It's a part of who you are, and it becomes what you do. People go off. Why? Because there's a war on the inside. And the only way that that war can end is that you have to have a peace. I feel like preaching. You have to have a peace to come into the inside of you and resolve the conflict. Now, if you say, I got my way of doing it. I can handle it. Then what's going to happen is you're either going to try to drown it with alcohol. You're going to try to sedate it with drugs. You will find some way to try to deal with it. And at best, it can only give you temporary peace. Hear what I'm saying? A lot of people are facing this. And some have been driven to the point where it becomes so desperate that they end up taking their own life. And if you're listening online, please, please, if you're listening in here, please, please, do not take your life. Because there's an answer. Look at somebody, tell them there's hope. We needed peace. I need peace. I can't stop this war within me. And James, he says, now you got to admit this. You got to admit that you got a conflict going on. You got to admit that there's a war in your members. And in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul describes it, well, when I want to do good, I end up doing bad. And the thing that I want to do, I can't do. I want to do what's right, but wrong shows up. How many of y'all ever faced that? Oh, yeah. We faced that. We've had to deal with that. And there are a lot of people that will cover it with religion. You know, they'll dress a certain way, talk a certain way. You run into them. Every other word that they used to curse with, they now say, praise the Lord. Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. Don't fool me now. The only way for us to have peace is that peace must be ushered in. But now, as much as this is a problem, as much as this is something to deal with, you got a worse problem than that. You're at war with God. The war within might be raging, but your war with God is deadly. Now you've got your soul on the line. Now you've got something deep within that is that conflict with God. A lot of people, I'm not in battle with God. Well, what the Bible said. Oh, I know. You say it's the murderer. It's the rapist. It's that gambler. It's that drug addict. It's those people that are at war against God. Not who, me? Yeah, you. Because the Bible has declared all under sin. We all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Now, before you say, well, wait a minute, how can I end this war? You can't. That's why you got to admit to yourself, oh, miserable, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I like that. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because you know if you get to fighting with God, you ain't going to win. Plain and simple. As one preacher said one time, your arms are too short to box with God. So the battle rages, the things that are going on in the inside of us, it rages. We had a battle against God. I didn't even mention the fact that the devil is fighting against you tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. He wants to destroy you. But God wants to have mercy on you. And I'm so glad that when man could not solve this problem of war, Jesus stepped in. Can I get a witness? The Lord said, I'm going to solve your problem. I'm going to help you through your battle. I will fight for you, and I'm going to win this battle, because the battle is not yours. It is. I said it is. It is the Lord's. You got to believe that. So we need peace. Don't kid yourself. A lot of people trying to say, well, you know, just give me enough money and that's going to make me have peace. John Paul Getty had a whole lot of money. Yeah. On oil fields and all of this kind of stuff. But guess what? He didn't have peace. Had hired him a security staff and said, they're going to keep me secure. But he didn't have peace. And he died, a lot of money, being rich, but had to leave it right here. Ladies and gentlemen, before the end of this message, I want to show you very definitely and specifically how you can have the peace with God. How many of y'all believe that? So what did God do about this situation? Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that peace came at a cost. Here's the cost. Isaiah prophesied some 800 years prior to Christ's coming. He said, for unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. And what does it say? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name, I love this, his name shall be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, the Mighty God, comma, the Everlasting Father, comma, the Prince of Peace. That means world peace. It's not going to come through the New York Stock Exchange. It's not going to come through the riches of this world and the resources. It's not going to come through that. Only the prince or the ruler of peace can bring you peace. Clap your hands, all ye people. Peace comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. And even though Jesus Christ, the owner of everything, when he came to this world, emptied himself out of everything, came down and was born in a manger. Now, in case some of y'all don't know what a manger is, it's a trough where animals eat out of it. Are y'all still here? The best that could ever come to this planet, we have no room for him. And some of you don't even have any patience in him. Can I get a witness? Yet he came anyway. Not wanted, but he was needed. Do I have a witness? Thank God for Jesus. He came to bring us peace. into this world. He is the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. In other words, he is going to expand his government, and one day that government hit my life like a ton of bricks. I couldn't run from it. I didn't know which way to turn, but when you are confronted with the truth of who Jesus is and what he's going to do, that's where you got to decide, am I going to keep fighting? Am I going to keep trying to resist God? Had me on the other side of the world, and I thank God he won. Look at somebody, tell him, he won! Thank God for Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He has this peace plan. But now here comes your side of it. We look at all that Jesus means and all that he does, but your side of it, you got to sign the peace agreement. You didn't come up with the peace, but you got to sign the agreement. The Williams family, this morning they said, you know, we're going to do this thing as a family. Why? Because we want to make sure that we are on the Lord's side. Are y'all here? We want our children to know that we're on the Lord's side, that we believe in the grace and the mercy and the kindness of God. Have you ever met anybody as kind as God? Woke you up this morning, gave you the strength that you needed, and didn't charge you anything. Come on, somebody. He's worthy of praise today. He's worthy of honor. He didn't have to do it, but he wanted to do it. Lift your hands, all the people, and say, God, thank you. All the things that Jesus did, all the things from his birth, didn't have all the riches and resources of this world, but he knew he had a plan, was to be that Prince of Peace, to be that God that would come into our lives and save us. And one of the main things that you need to be saved from is yourself. I know you want to blame everything on the devil made me do it. You ain't Flip Wilson. God saved us from ourselves. Why? Because we were that wretched man. We were that broken person that could not do the right thing. And yet Christ coming into us gives us the strength to carry out his plan. I like God's peace plan. Look at somebody say, I love God's peace plan. Now, here's what happens when the nations decide they want to stop fighting each other. They'll get to a place that's maybe a neutral territory, and they'll get together and they'll sign the agreement, and they'll say, yeah, we'll do this, but it's under certain terms. Under certain terms. And so anytime it looks like that one side is not going to keep the agreement, the other side said, well, that gives me an opportunity to start a war. But your peace plan was so complete. Even when you mess up, God still loves you. Hold on. Let me just tell you a little bit more. While you were yet sinning, Christ gave his all for you. Paul says it in that 8th verse. He said, while we were yet sin, while you were still partying, while you were still clapping your hands and doing the stuff in the club, not in the church. Help me preach in here. When you were tore up from the floor, God had mercy on you. You could have died right where you were, but he had mercy on your soul and saved you. Hallelujah, somebody. That's why I give him praise. That's why I glorify him. That's why I honor him, because he's real. I don't stand up here and preach to you like I've had it all together all my life. No. I did some of the same stuff you did. Amen. Used to do it. Amen. But when you taste of the goodness of God, when you taste of the mercy of God, when you get the peace of God in your life, you say, man, why am I taking this cheap stuff when I can have the good stuff? Why am I putting up with living any kind of way when I can live the right way? Look at the verse. Look at what it says. We have not of going to get, but we have. If you don't have a present under the Christmas tree, that's all right. You got peace right now. Because you're celebrating the goodness of God. This peace is so critical. It's so critical. That all you have to do is activate it each day through prayer. Say, God, thank you. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for settling things in my life. How many of you all ever had stuff to happen? I mean, just stuff to happen. You didn't think it was going to happen. And it happened anyway. But then all of a sudden, rather than you getting your feathers ruffled and all upset, you get this calmness that comes over you. And you know it ain't you. It is God abiding in you and telling you, I got this. It's not a storm that you're going to be in where God can't handle. Because Jesus' peace is so complete. It's so gracious toward us. He ushered in God's peace plan. And all you got to do is say, yes, Lord, I accept it. I accept it on your terms. And I believe in you. And I will not put up with anything else except what you have for my life. But now, before you sign, like the folk told me at the bank, before you sign, you got to go by these terms. Don't just think it'll be a thing of where you can just still do as you want and go as you will. And don't think of it as a fact, well, if I get peace with God, that means I got peace with everybody. Number one, you will always have some enemies in this world. How many of y'all woke up to realize that? Well, I never thought they would do that. Yeah, they did it. But you can't go through life worrying about your enemies when you need to worship your Savior. That's what's wrong with us. What's wrong with a lot of churches. They worried about, well, somebody don't like me. I don't care. That's on you. Because I know who I walk with. I know who I talk with. I know the one who loves me enough to take care of me. Amen, somebody. I don't worry about who's mad at me. They ain't paying my bills. Amen, somebody. You know, we got this thing. We got this thing in golf. Reverend Gibbons, come down your street. We got this thing in golf. Don't let it get in your head. Now, people that play golf know what that means. Don't let it get in your head. A lot of times we leave church and we feel so good. We feel like, oh, God, I had a great service today. Everything was just wonderful. Music, we had the choir sing. And, Lord, you just blessed in so many ways. Walk out of here, and before you even get out of church, you get a text message from somebody that you don't really necessarily like. And just like that, your peace is gone. How many of y'all have had that happen? Or maybe you're walking out of church and somebody accidentally cuts you off. Amen. Because, you know, folks in a rush now. Y'all still here? And before you can say, praise the Lord, you said something there. That's temporary peace. Look at what Paul says to us in these verses. And I'm going to close with this. By whom we also have access by faith into the grace, this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now watch this. Here's how the peace is going to work out. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What is that four-syllable word? Tribulations. Trouble. You ever notice something when you get God in your life? You're not immediately swept away to heaven. You still got to walk through some stuff. Folks lying on you for no reason. Being talked about, and people ain't got nothing to talk about. They make it up. Come on now. This same peace of God abides in you so richly. Look at what Paul says. And not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God is in this thing. Peace is not a dormant power within you. It is the magnificent power of God that's always in the active form. because you're going to always have some storms. You're going to always have some trials. You're going to always have some situation. Yeah, you might be getting out of a bad situation right now, but guess what? You better look up. You're headed for another one. Between now and glory, I don't expect the devil to leave me alone, but I know somebody who can make him leave me alone. Look at somebody and say, I know him. Look at somebody else, tell them, I know him. See, when you know that the peace of God is abiding in you, you don't get your feathers all ruffled. You don't say, well, wait a minute, let me take off my religion. Wait a minute. You can't take it off because it's on the inside. You can't do away with inside stuff. You might be taking off that custom that you have, but you sure can't take away Jesus. Allowing people and things to get in your head. But the peace of God abides in us. And because of that, God takes this peace and works out a process. As you glory in tribulation, that same tribulation will work patient. Let me ask you something. After you've gone through a storm, how many of y'all feel like, man, I made it? Have you ever done that? You didn't throw up your hands. You didn't throw in the towel. But you trusted God. In the midst of that. And you know what he did? He led you and guided you in such a way that you knew it had to be God and not you. Clap your hands one more time. Now, it's not done yet. Wait a minute. And patience, experience. In other words, that's going to take you to experience. Well, I said, wait a minute, preacher, didn't you say experience? I did say experience is not what you have a foundation on, but I didn't say that you didn't have experience. Because some of you have experiences with God. Dr. Billy Graham, in his book, he was describing what peace is. And here's what he said. He said, you know, a lot of people look for a definitive definition of peace. He says, until you actually possess true peace with God, no one can describe its wonders to you. In other words, if you don't know it for yourself, I can't explain it to you. Because it's something that can't be explained. But it can be acknowledged. That's what I'm talking about. This peace of God so works mightily in you and through you that it gives you this thing called experience. And then experience gives you hope because you know it's going to turn out God's way. And the hope does not make us ashamed. In other words, don't hang your head down. Hold your head up high because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Let me just close by telling you, in life, you're going to find yourself on some troubled seas. And I'm not talking about the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not talking about the Pacific Ocean. I'm not talking about the Indian Ocean or all the other waters of the world. You can be in a river. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life itself. It's going to bring you some storms. But who do you have on board? Who do you have on board with you? The disciples caught themselves in a storm. They found out they were in a storm, and they tried desperately to get to the other side, but then it got to the point where they could not do it on their own, so they had to say, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? How many of y'all ever been there? Lord, don't you know I'm sinking? Yes, he knows that you're sinking, but either one or two things are going to happen. He's either going to have to send you a boat or throw out his hand. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? No matter what happens, God will deliver you because he's Almighty God. So I close with this. You don't know what kind of storm you're going to be in. You don't know what kind of situation you're going to encounter. But as long as you walk with Jesus, as long as God holds on to you, as long as God is your keeper, you can make it. Don't let anybody put you down. Don't let folks try to discourage you. The same God that woke you up this morning, he walks with you. He talks with you. He tells you that you are his own. And the joy that we have, the peace that we have, nobody can take it away from you. And that's why you got to trust him. That's why you got to lean on the everlasting arms when you're going through these situations. Peace comes at a cost. And your only cost is to simply trust God. Trust God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your precious grace. Thank you for giving us that gift of peace. You being peace itself. Lord, we love you. And we thank you. Bless us only you can do. Keep us, we pray, in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Maybe this message has touched somebody. You've had this conflict going on the inside. Today is the day that you need to sign the peace plan, the peace agreement with God. Don't fight him. Don't struggle against God. If anything, put your hand in his hand and let him lead you. You may be online and you can't respond as those do in here. But what you can do is make up your mind that you're going to follow God. Your answer is not in the drugs. It's not in the thing that you do. It's not trusting in people. It's putting your trust in God. If you will do that, God will deliver your soul. If you're in here, you can say, "Preacher, I'm touched by the message. I want to recognize God. I want a greater understanding of who he is and what he can do." If that's you today, I know we have the formalities where you can come forward. You don't even have to do that. You can get right in your seat, right where you are. Get real with the Holy Ghost. Get real with the Spirit of God. Let him talk to you. Let him give you that peace. And I guarantee it'll be joy that you've never known before. Am I right? Clap your hands, all you people. Amen. Let's all stand. Doors of the church are open. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come." Is there one? God bless you. You may be seated. Let me indulge upon your patience for just a few minutes. We had the family, the Williams family, to go through baptism, and I commend the parents for standing with their children today. And the whole family said, "We're going to do this." God bless you. God bless you. So we're going to greet them and give them the right hand of fellowship. We're going to ask our officers to come forward, our ministers, that we can greet them. And before we close, Hannah is going to grace us with a special song, so we look forward to that. Amen.